This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
from every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you people score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And welcome. That's right. It is the Wednesday, and I don't particularly enjoy the Wednesday. It is October the 20th, 2021. The show you've completely fallen in love with is DPHRO and Rothenberg with you here on 98.7 ESPN. So the Wednesday. You say, what does the Wednesday entail? Oh, I mean, we have stuff, baby. We have lots of stuff to get into. All right, Yankees news, Brian Cashman speaking, Aaron Boone speaking. Why? Because Aaron Boone is back. Aaron Boone is going nowhere, maybe for at least 4 years. At least. So that's something we have. We have a missed called strike three, which now turns into a seven-run barrage for the Astros last night. We have the Dodgers probably saving their season on a huge home run by one. I think it's Clay. I can't remember if it's Clay or Cody, but
it's Cody.
Cody?
It's Cody. Yeah, you got it. Cody.
The father is Clay, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I always get that confused. We have your favorite segment that we do here on the show, Stump Rothenberg at 6:45. We have, I thought, a dear friend of mine, RJ Santillo, until last night I sent him a very pointed text. The response I get? None. But we say good morning to my partner in crime, a man who knows all the first names, the great Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. How are you doing this morning? A lot of sports on last night.
A lot of sports. I don't really care for the Wednesday, but I'm doing okay.
Why? It's the hump day. It's the stump day. This is Stump Rothenberg, my favorite day of the week.
Because this is like no man's land. I don't feel a connection to the Wednesday. The Monday is that's a day. Like you're off the weekend. Right, you've just seen all the football. I feel comfortable with the Monday. The Tuesday still has juice from the weekend. The Thursday, you're looking towards the weekend. The Friday, the weekend is basically here. I don't feel a connection to the Wednesday.
See, I do. This is the quiet before the storm. I mean, we got Week 7 football kicking off tomorrow. We got Knicks season opener tonight. We had, the NBA opened up last night.
Oh yeah, how about that Nets?
Come on, this is a nice day. This is middle of the week. Let's go, Stump Rothenberg day. Your day to shine. Last week, not so good.
Not so good.
Time to bounce back. That's what it is. Monday, I mean, who cares about Monday?
I care about Monday.
Stink.
I like the Monday.
I like the frenzy on the Monday, but both our football teams are trash.
Trash. But you have
Corey
Davis.
Let's enjoy the Wednesday.
You have Corey Davis, which is nice.
Yeah, the next Steph Diggs.
Yep.
I got an Islanders win, too. I'll take it. Didn't like how it looked, but I'll take it.
What do you mean you didn't like how it looked?
It did not look good. I mean, that was... We talked about Shesterkin and how good he was.
Sorokin was
last night.
Woo.
Was... nasty, especially in the first period.
Very good.
I mean, we're giving up breakaways on our power play, man. That's not Islanders hockey. Stop.
That's not ideal, no. But you go into Chicago, get a win. That's good.
Yeah, I'll take it. I mean, this is a 13-game road trip. You take as many wins as you can. So
what is that? Because UBS is not going to be ready for a while?
It will not be ready, no. So I think they're traveling on this road trip, 13 games. They're going 16,000 miles of travel.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's not what you want.
That's a lot. So what would you take? 13 games, you take... 5-7 and an overtime loss or no?
Yeah, give me somewhere right around 500 is good. Yeah,
just to not be in trouble right after this 13 game road trip.
Exactly right. I mean, take the time, get to know your teammates, maybe sprinkle in a rookie dinner, whatever you want to do. Get your game right. The first three games have not looked great.
It's early. Yeah, it's early. Honestly, and I hope that I'm wrong, but honestly, I think I would be surprised if they weren't fine.
Well, they play good teams, too, right? The Panthers are a good team.
Very good.
Carolina's a really good team.
Very good.
Did the Nets look good last night? I mean, they're the team everyone's picking to come out of these. Did they look good last night?
Uh-uh.
No.
They looked awful last night.
They didn't look good at all last night.
They looked awful last night. By the way,
Patty Mills was ridiculous.
He's good.
They didn't miss a three.
He's terrific.
But, I mean, they got to figure out what to do with Giannis. I mean, you got to imagine, like, if Brooklyn's going to get what they want, they're probably going to have to go through Milwaukee. They have to find some sort of answer for Giannis.
And then we, of course, have the Ben Simmons story, which is just unbelievable.
You hear he's practicing? I actually got a good story to go along with this Ben Simmons story. Like, he's, first of all, he's saying, no, I'm not going to any of these drills. And then he's practicing with his cell phone in his pocket.
If you're Doc Rivers, you have to be beside yourself, huh?
Well, yeah, but here's the interesting thing, too, right? I was listening to the K-Show yesterday. I actually sent Michael a text from Woj. So he went back. The reason why he went back is because he was done being fined. Like, he didn't want to be fined anymore. He was losing too much money. Mm-hmm. He hasn't made a cent since he came back.
How is that possible?
Well, because of the fines for missing preseason games, and then he's been missing practices and everything else since he's been back, so he's been getting fined for that. He hasn't made any money coming back.
He's such a baby.
Oh, he's hell-bent. I mean, I don't know if it's he's sensitive, whatever it is. Yo, you remember we had, who did we have on that said, even back in college, because we're like, well, he still can't shoot. What's going on? Like, doesn't he practice? He said he was embarrassed to practice in front of his teammates. He'd go on like a side gym so no one could see it.
I don't remember who that was, but I remember that somebody said that to us.
Yeah, someone that covered him in college said he wouldn't shoot
in front of people. With him. He'd never been able to shoot the basketball.
Oh, he can't go back to Philly, man. There's no chance.
Of course not. But now what he's done is he's ruined any you know, leverage that they might. Not that they had any, but they have none.
Well, both of these guys, Kyrie, same thing. Who's trading for Kyrie Irving right now?
No. None. There's nobody's going to want Kyrie.
And that's going to continue to be a story. Like, I mean, you just look at the recap of last night's game.
Especially when they lose. Right?
Oh, if they win, especially
it's like,
when
all right, they won the game. When they lose, it's going to be the big story.
Well, of course it is. I think the biggest story from last night's game is, and I get it, like this Milwaukee Bucks team, the continuity, I get it, familiarity, all that stuff. And the Nets are trying to figure it out. But, I mean, a lot of the things that were a problem for the Nets last season were problems again last night. I mean, second chance points, offensive rebounds, all those things. Points off of turnovers, missed free throws. It wasn't good.
No, wasn't good. One game, maybe the best team in the Eastern Conference. So not the worst loss you've ever seen, but certainly not good. Sam, you know, I don't know if you felt like this. It feels like Steve Nash has coached 97 games this year so far. Like he just you listen to them talk to him, and it just feels like he's exhausted.
He's worn out.
Did you feel the same way?
Yes, he looks tired already. It's game one. He looks tired.
Yep. Let's take a listen. Here is Steve Nash, the head coach of the Nets. We need to be better.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Obviously, I thought we weren't as sharp as we needed to be. Probably weren't as physical as we needed to be. Weren't as organized as we needed to be. You know, but at the same time, the one thing that disappointed me more than anything was just loose balls, hustle plays. You know, they seem to win them all. So as we're trying to find ourselves and explore different rotations and find that cohesion, we gotta make it more uncomfortable for people.
I mean, tell me that doesn't sound like it was game 67 from last night.
Yeah, he feels worn down.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, wouldn't you be at this point with all the crap he had to deal with?
Yeah, but that was just their first game.
No, I get it. I don't know if it feels like it's less about the game and more like what led up to this game. I mean, he mentions the hustle plays, too. That's the one thing I didn't like about last night either, too. Usually in situations like this, you know, banner gets raised, you're feeling good about yourself.
And then you have nothing.
Yeah, they get the big giant rings. And, I mean, this is the team that eliminated last year, right? Like, this is the team you're going after. You felt like the Nets would come out, you know, the hungrier team with the sense of urgency, and it didn't feel that way at all.
No, I don't think they care about the regular season. I think it's meaningless to them. I don't think Kevin Durant, it means nothing to him.
Well, yeah, but I'm not talking about Kevin Durant. I don't worry about Kevin Durant.
No,
slow start shooting, but he figured it out. I'm not worried about him. I'm not worried about James Harden. I'm worried about the other guys.
Are you really worried about them, though?
In the long run, no, I'm not worried about them because I think they'll figure it out. I mean, even last year with just KD, and I mean, to say he was hobbled is probably an understatement. They still were, a big toe away from advancing and beating Milwaukee?
Mm-hmm.
So, no, ultimately, I'm not. But I think in like all the rotations and all that stuff, I think they'll figure out. That's going to take some time, right? Like, there's a lot of new guys. You don't like Steve Nash said, things you can control. Biggest thing is effort, right? And, I mean, he mentioned you shouldn't in game one, the team that eliminated you, that you kind of want to, I mean, it's nationally televised. For me, I'm one of those Brooklyn Nets. I want to rain on your banner day is what I want to do. Get those big, ugly rings, big smiles on your face. Guess what? I want to beat you now. And they look, the sense of urgency, the hungrier team looked like the Bucks. I didn't like that.
Because they were. That's why they looked like that. They were. I don't think the regular season matters all that much to Brooklyn.
No, I know, but this isn't just the regular season. I get what you're saying. Like on a, you know, a random Tuesday or whatever. I get it. But this is the first game of the season. This is the team that won the championship. This is the team that eliminated you from the playoffs. They're raising their banners. They're getting the rings. Like, I wanna make this day miserable for you. You sent me home. I would like to at least...
Yeah, a statement game.
Yes.
I don't disagree with you. I think you're right. I just don't think they feel like that. I don't think the regular season matters to this organization at all.
No, I don't disagree with you, but I think there are certain... I mean, even... I don't care how good you are. Like, there are certain games that I think you should naturally get up for. And this was... I felt like it was one of those games that they should get up for.
Yep. Well, you say that, and I think that you're right, but I don't know that Kevin Durant agrees. Here he is after the game saying watching the Bucks get their rings doesn't really motivate him at all.
I can't speak for my teammates and what they're thinking internally, you know, when they see stuff like that. But for me, it's like, no, I don't. I mean, good for them, you know. But I'm already motivated to play. I already want to play my best every time I step out there, no matter what the situation is. So I'm just motivated by being the best that I can be, you know. So, nah, what they did was, you know, it was cool for them, you know, but it had no effect on me.
And that is Kevin Durant from
last
night.
See, that could be the only issue with this team, really, because I don't know how much of a leader Steve Nash is. I know he coaches the team, but I don't know what kind of leader he is in that room. Kevin Durant feels like he's the, you know, lead by example guy.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, you don't need motivation. You're the best player on the planet. Like, I know you can go out there and drop 30 in your sleep, which is exactly what he did. But it should affect your teammates. It should. Like, that should piss you off. It should motivate you to watch it. To watch the team that eliminated you, the team that you're probably going to have to go through to get to the finals, raise their banner and get their rings. That would piss me off. I would want to go out and I would want to send a message. And then, I mean, the Bucks going, what, a 31-10 run?
Yeah, they killed them. They killed them last night. That game wasn't all that close.
No, it wasn't at all. I mean, every time they try to cut into it, it's like the Bucks said, nuh-uh. And this was without Drew Holiday for most of the game. That's what made it worse.
I like
it. Game one, I get it.
I like it. I think it's a great storyline if the Nets don't play great basketball this year. And if Kyrie Irving is not here and it's a continuous, you know, discussion. And, you know, I would love it if teammates got angry at him and started calling him out and it was chaotic. I think that'd be great.
Oh, that's great for us, yeah. I mean, I don't know how that helps them, but it's definitely, yeah, you're not wrong.
No, I don't think it's great for me, great for us, maybe great for the listeners, great for people that don't like them. No, I don't think it's great for them.
No, good for our business. I mean, it's great for our business, but I mean, it was crazy. So, I mean, I watched that game last night. I wake up this morning, I'm going through the papers and everything else, and there's more about Kyrie. It's like he didn't even play.
He's going to be the story.
And you wonder why Steve Nash looks like he's exhausted already. I couldn't imagine. Like, there's so much that goes into trying to coach with, you know, game plans, video, meetings, walkthroughs, whatever it is, to now on top of that have to deal with this crap off the court that has no bearing on whether or not we win or lose. It's painful.
Well, that's where we are. And Kyrie Irving, he I don't think he cares.
Another reason why, though, Dave, you should show up and try to win that game, to quiet the noise. You go out there and you make a statement and you beat up on Milwaukee.
Yep, all of a sudden Kyrie is not front and center. You're
exactly right.
You're right with everything you say. I don't disagree. I'm just saying I don't think it matters that much to them. I don't think that Kevin Durant puts his head on the pillow last night and is horrified that they lost that game.
No, I don't either. But again, I mean, you're talking about things you need to win a championship, right? Now, I mean, going back in my experience winning championships in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the Can-Am tournament where I was the MVP up in Lake Placid. I mean, there has to be someone in that room that makes guys care about a moment like last night.
Well, I don't think they have that guy.
Well, no, I don't think so either, and that's the point. Like, Kevin Durant went to Golden State. Does Golden State have that guy? You're damn right they have that guy. That's Draymond Green, right?
Absolutely, yep.
So, I get it doesn't affect him, but now, I mean, he's the guy, right? Like, they all look to Kevin Durant. Or they're going to have to look to someone in that room to get them focused, to get them mentally where they need to be for a game like that. Because that was a big game. It was. I know it's game one, but still, that would have been a nice statement, especially with all the crap going on with Kyrie. That would have quieted that noise.
It would have quieted the noise. You're right.
But again, listen, they'll figure it out. I'm not concerned about it because they still got two of the best players on the planet and they got tons of depth. Patty Mills looks obviously like he was a great offseason signing.
I love that guy.
But again, I mean, trying to win a championship, two important things for me in my experience with all my men's league titles is, especially when you get in playoff series, tough playoff series, is leadership and coaching. And I think right now at the moment, those are two things you probably question a little bit with the Nets.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say. Now, coaching, you don't question that with the Knicks. Knicks tonight, I mean, I can't wait. I haven't been this excited for a Knicks opening game, and I couldn't even tell you when the last time was. Really?
No, I mean, how could you? You have to sit and really think about the last
time
you were this
excited. I'm not exaggerating. I could not tell you the last time I was this excited to watch the Knicks. I'm excited for Kemba Walker. I'm excited to watch second year of Obi Toppin. I mean, Mitchell Robinson, all of it. I'm excited.
The Knicks are great.
I love watching this.
Stop it! I got this excited last year. I did.
No. Last year, yes. Not last year, game one.
No.
I'm saying an opening day for the Knicks. When was the last time you were this excited?
For an opening day?
Yes.
I can't even. I have no idea. No, I would have to sit and really actually think about that.
I mean, it's. I don't know. Maybe when they made the Eastern Conference Finals against the Pacers?
Yeah, probably. I'll tell you what, though. I mean, I know you love Vegas. Listen, I know you love Vegas. You love it. I mean, it's your...
What do you mean, I love Vegas?
No, like...
I've been there three times.
No. In theory, right? Like, everything about Vegas, blackjack, the odds, you know, sports betting, all that stuff. That's right up Dave Rothenberg's alley.
Yeah, I do like the principle of Vegas, yes.
Exactly right. But when I ask you questions, you use Vegas as a resource, right? Like, who do you think is going to win whatever?
I think it's an important resource, yes.
I'll tell you what. I don't love the over-under number for the Knicks at all.
What is it, 42.5?
It seems sketchy to me, like real sketchy. I know the East is better, but still.
So you think they go over the 42.5?
Before you saw that number, with the addition of Kemba Walker, right? I mean, you got to imagine Obi Toppin's going to be better. Quickly's going to be better. Mm-hmm. You keep that second unit together. So now, I mean, Kemba's going to play in the first unit. Derrick Rose is going to play in the second unit, which was a huge advantage for them last season. Like, all the things that you were excited. Fournier, like... Did you think before you saw that number that it would be the Knicks going to be a 500 team? Essentially a 500 team? I didn't.
So, I mean, what did you think, 48?
Well, no. I mean, I thought this team, because, again, it's look who the coach is. This isn't one of those situations where it's like, let's coast through the regular season, and as long as we get in, we can make a run. Like, they're going to play every game hard. Right? Like, there are certain guys you'll manage the minutes just to keep them fresh, but they're going to play like Julius Randle and RJ Barrett played every game last year, essentially every game in humongous minutes. And they took advantage of that. I don't think that's going to change. Like, you'll probably, you're going to manage Derrick Rose and Kemba because Kemba's knee, but they're going to go and play hard.
Yeah, they are out there to win the regular season game.
Exactly
they,
right. They are so the, it confuses me.
They are the opposite of what the Nets are.
So that number kind of confuses me, honestly.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You got a friend. Who doesn't love this movie? DiPietro and Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. If you don't love Toy Story, something is fundamentally wrong with you.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't love Toy Story?
I think everybody. Every adult, every kid, everybody.
Although there was one Toy Story where I think the kids got a little bit... I don't know which one it was.
One of them scared the heck out of Alex.
Yeah, same thing with the kids.
So the one at the daycare center?
I think that was the one. Yeah, was that two?
The third one, I think.
Yeah, one of them freaked them right out.
Yeah, that I think that's the one with the evil toys, and they at like nighttime they went crazy. Yeah, that was unsettling.
The bear with one eye was the leader, right?
Yes, and that's when he almost got burned at the end. Yes.
Yeah, that was the only one. Other than that, they liked it.
Yeah,
well, no, it's me, and they're like because they don't get some of the stuff like in those movies. Like, they'll look over, and again, it's like a Kelly Clarkson moment for me. I'm just weeping, crying.
You weep at the children's movies?
Oh, yeah. I told you, that movie I just watched, the Vivo movie, I'm crying. Like, I can't help it. I don't know what happened to me.
You cry at everything.
I'm broken inside or something. Like, I don't know. Like, the divorce, I don't know what happened to me. Having a daughter, I don't know.
Yeah, you really have some issues. By the way, I was very offended yesterday.
Why? What happened yesterday?
Very hurt, very offended, because we talked to Pat LaFontaine yesterday after the show. We have a really emotional...
Great conversation.
Really emotional. It was a terrific conversation. There's an E60 about him and his daughter and his son-in-law, and it's inspiring and emotional, and I really, really would push you to watch it. E60, I think it's a love story is the name of it, and you can watch it. It's on ESPN constantly now. And we're talking to Pat LaFontaine. I think it's going really well. And you've seen it. See, I didn't have time to watch it. It's an hour long. You're an amazing guy. We got sent the trailer and then the full viewing hour long E60,
yep.
Right? I watched the trailer, then the hour long gets sent to us. I didn't have time to watch it. You watched it.
Yeah.
And you start talking to him about it. You say, Pat, I watched it and this is how it made me feel. It made me want to be a better father. It made me want to be a better husband. It made me want to be a better son. It made me want to be a better friend. And I'm thinking to myself, and here he goes. It's going to make me want to be a better co-host.
No, nope. You're in the friend category. Nope. We're best friends. You're not in the
co-host. No, you know what? It's different. It's different.
No, it isn't different.
It's different.
No, it isn't. No, because you're not a work friend. You're a real friend. I'm not. This is not like one of those work situations where I deal with you and pretend to be a friend for 3 hours. I engage you. I talk to you probably at least once every day through text or a phone call every day.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm fully engaged in Dave Rothenberg.
I get off of the text chain, and then we certainly chat every once in a while, which is lovely as well.
Yeah, and you hit us with nasty things, and you want to quit the chat.
Because I don't want to be, I've told you, I'm not comfortable, and I'm being forced, held against my will. I mean, this is like text hostage situation. I don't want to be in the text group.
No, pretend the text message that the group that we're on, me, you, Santi, Ray, and Hurls, trust the speakers, is like our own little locker room. So I got to keep you updated on what's going on. Oh, Andrew Thomas, IR. I got to let Dave know.
You know what? It was unsettling. It was unsettling. I knew it happened. I didn't need for you to throw that in my face. And of course, in typical Rick fashion, you throw that in my face.
I was expecting, in all honesty, once I started doing that and I gave you the Kadarius Toney info too, I thought I was going to get the IYAB right in my face.
No. Beep. Oh, what's it? Beep. Here we go. Oh, God. I mean, you don't bring up Santiago's foibles, right?
You
are slurping on it. He's got guys in the secondary that are, DUIs, DWIs. You don't make mention of that.
And I'm a Mets fan, remember?
Yeah.
Remember what happened to RGM? Yeah, I'd rather just kind of
gloss right over that.
Exactly right.
And then I had to bring that up.
Because we can't even find a president. Who knows what's going to happen with that? Here's the best part, too, with the Mets is now you get reports that the Mets are going to be aggressive with Javi Baez. Who's making that decision?
I was thinking the same. It's got to be Sandy, no?
Yeah, what are we doing?
It's got to be Sandy going to Steve Cohen. It's like, listen, it's just me and you here, pal. What do you say we lock Baez into a long-term deal? Hang on, let me tweet about it.
Dude, they're going to lock up $500 million on their middle infield.
And they're gonna sign Javi Baez. They'll sign Carlos Correa, the new GM. They won't be able to get anybody. You've done what? I'm saddled with what? For how long?
$1 billion in the infield.
Yeah. Oh, $1.3 billion on the infield. Welcome. Welcome to the New York Mets. So, yeah, I was taken aback by the fact that you didn't mention me when we talked to Pat LaFontaine yesterday. And more taken aback by the fact that, now, I do respect that RJ apologized greatly this morning. But I sent him a pointed text, and he ignored me yesterday.
I did not ignore you.
He was busy.
I was honest with you. I was honest with you about what happened. I was on my phone. I saw it. Something else happened in the sporting world, and I totally forgot. That's what happened. And I'm troubled. Well, two things.
How am I supposed to feel about that?
Probably not great, but yeah. A couple of things. If you want to hear the Pat LaFontaine interview, subscribe to the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And
did you find yourself welling up during the interview?
Not welling up. There was another troubling thing that happened during the interview. I won't bring it up. I was told not to bring this up. So if
who
you
told you not to bring this up?
You did. So if you want to hear it for yourself, go check it out after the show, of course, not right now. But more concerning than all of that is that I have sourcing that says Dave is now seeking outside consultation on how to exit the group chat. So he's serious about it, and I'm concerned about that. He hasn't figured it out yet.
I'm going to get there.
See, I don't know why you want to run away from it. I love it.
You love it because I'm always the person that's made fun of in the group chat.
No, you took shots at me yesterday. You
haven't taken shots at anybody.
Was Corey Davis.
That's going to be my response
nice.
To you every single
time. I can tell
time.
You right now, the second you pull yourself out of that group chat, all of us will pull you right back in. You're not escaping.
I think there's a decent chance that I change my number.
No, this will be a misery situation. I'll take you. I mean, we'll kidnap you, put you in the house, but I'll chain you to the bed.
That movie scared the death out of me. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's some crazy stuff right there.
That was a scary movie.
She comes in with the sledgehammer. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
She smashes his legs. Oh. The poor guy. He's saving up drugs to poison her. Who is that, Kathy Bates?
Oh, yeah, Kathy Bates.
That's not a woman you want to mess with.
No, you don't mess with Kathy Bates. No, no, no.
No.
No, you don't play that game. Forget that. Oh.
Tell me, Paul, about Misery. It's like, oh, God. She's off the deep end. off the deep end. All right.
You know what another funny scene, like, similar to that? Like, no, obviously not as gruesome as that, is the... is the Wedding Crasher scene when he wakes up and he's tied to the bed. Vince Vaughn's tied to the bed.
Yeah, but that's not scary. That's funny.
No, I know. That's the opposite. That's the funny version of that.
That Kathy Bates. Oof.
Oof. Yeah, you don't want to mess around with that.
No.
Could you imagine? No.
And James Caan's not a guy that you can easily get away with, you know, messing around with. But, oof.
Yeah, but, I mean, he was overmatched. Come on. Let's
overmatched,
be honest.
Yeah. And he was hobbled to come into the situation, right? I mean, obviously.
Well, yeah, and she didn't know favors when she smashed his legs with the sledgehammer.
Oh, that was a gruesome scene. Really gruesome scene.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Fat Guy Strong tweets me, says, have you thought about putting the chat on do not disturb? That way you only read the messages if you want to. I think because Santiago is cheap and doesn't have an iPhone, that you can't do normal things with this group chat.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I actually think that's the case. I don't know, I mean, per se, because it's not my area of expertise. That's more Cassie's
right.
thing, like most
but,
things.
But, I mean, I'm on the details right now, and I have the names of everyone. Send my current location, which is the last thing I want to do. You guys will be standing there when I arrive. Share my location. Share this device. Hide alerts. Maybe that would work. Let me try that. Hide alerts. All right, I've done that. And otherwise, there's nothing else.
Well, it sounds like hide alerts would be the one to do.
Well, now it's done.
You're not going to be able to hide from us. I get the Cowboys. I've never rooted harder for the Cowboys than I am
so
right
you,
now.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah! You really are hoping the Cowboys... You really are all sorts of evil, aren't you?
I am now a Jets fan and a part-time Cowboys fan.
You're gross.
Oh, but you wait till you see the horse I roll up on.
I don't... Please. Like, there's any concern that the Cowboys, in a big moment, like a key... Tom Brady against the Dallas Cowboys, stop it. Like, there's any chance they will win that game.
And this horse is just going to... I'm going to feed it
Good.
So much. Me and Ray are going to feed these horses
Good.
So much...
Good.
So many carrots, just so much food before we get
I hope
to the
it
house.
I hope when you get on the horse, it kicks you right in the chest.
I hope you get attacked by a bobcat.
Right
and
in the chest.
It's just going to, oh.
And I hope you go flying back like a Naked Gun movie, like just flying back into a wall.
And Tannenbaum's coming too. Where did you see Tannenbaum on a horse?
Just remember, Dave, if it does happen, comments like these are why you're going to deserve it.
Good. Good. You're a pathetic organization. You're not going to win anything. Nothing.
Speak it into existence, Dave.
I couldn't. I absolutely couldn't. All right. Let's get into
you
the
spoke
Yankees.
Spoke it to
we?
An existence for the Eagles. What are you talking about?
Please.
You're the reason the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
That's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Can we get into the Yankees, for God's sakes?
I think we should. But can I also just mention, too, we didn't talk about this yesterday because you were just very long-winded yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I'm long-winded.
How about that two-point conversion play that the Buffalo Bills ran?
With the broken hand?
Was that what it was called? The broken hand? What was that? That's
no.
the play call?
No, Dawson Knox has a broken hand.
No, I know he has a broken hand, but how about that play call? That was a sick play.
It was amazing.
I
he couldn't have
play.
Been more wide open.
He was
Knox
wide
could have
open.
Run it in. He could have tossed it to him, anything he wanted.
Yeah, but they said that Dawson Knox, I mean, he's not even worried about it. Broken hand, no big deal.
Well, he said no problem. And
yeah,
in fact, Josh Allen knew the hand was hurt and said maybe we shouldn't run this play. He's like, no, 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 run the play.
Look at that. Now, that's toughness right there, David.
Yeah, it is. You're not kidding whatsoever. Hinky Haynes, who loves the show, says, you realize the new Android Galaxy S21 5G is $1,400. No, how would I realize that? Which is more expensive than the iPhone. There is zero chance, no chance that Santiago has the new, brand new $1,400 phone.
not the Samsung
flip phone.
Not the Samsung, I can tell you that.
The Sidekick.
It's funny you mention. I literally just put down on a new phone that debuted yesterday. So,
God forbid you get an iPhone.
And it's not going to be an iPhone.
God forbid.
But you don't have an Apple computer?
It's just not for Ray. Actually, I do. I do have an iMac, a MacBook Pro.
So why wouldn't you get the Apple phone then?
Because that was given to me some time ago. I didn't buy that. I didn't ask for it. It's like, oh, well, what am I supposed to do with this? And I ended up actually liking the laptop.
You know, nobody cares. Really. I mean, you're totally boring me. Nobody cares. I want to get it to the Yankees.
you asked the question.
No, but yeah, I have a MacBook I got for a present. And nobody cares.
You sound like you care.
No, I do
tell you,
not
you didn't
care.
Give it to him.
The
Rosenberg
only thing I care about is get me out of the group chat. That's all I care about.
Never happening.
I don't want to be there. All right. Aaron Boone wants to be here. Aaron Boone is here. Here he is on returning as manager of the New York Yankees.
I mean, I think I've had some conversations along the way with Cash, and certainly at the end of the year, we spoke a little bit, and he definitely voiced his support and desire to have me back and made me feel like that was the case. I had a good conversation with Hal beginning of last week just about stuff, and certainly from my end was satisfied and heard what I felt like I wanted to hear. And certainly understand the challenges and the tasks moving forward. But, yeah, I think conversations with them put me in a space that if everything lined up otherwise, I felt like this is where I wanted to be.
I like what he says. I think I had conversations with Cashman. What do you mean you think you had conversations with Cashman? You either had them or you didn't. But, listen, today you wake up, you're a Yankees fan. Well, what do you think the belief, the feeling is from Yankees Nation? This guy's fine or... oh. We should have moved in a different direction. Not what do you think they should have done. How do you think they feel right now?
I think a majority of them wish that they moved in a different direction because they wanted someone to pay for the disappointment.
That's right. And nobody paid now.
Well, no, the players are going to play. I mean, the players will pay. The lineup will pay. I mean, they're going to make tweaks to this lineup. They can't run this thing back. How many times? I mean, I told you this for how long? We talked about this. Me and you both talked about this for... I mean, Hal Steinbrenner came out and told you who he blamed for the season.
Yeah. Midway through the season when things were awful and they were bad at points this year, he completely put all the blame on the players.
It's not the process. It's not the analytics. It's the players underperformed. That's why they feel like they only won 92 games and lost in the wild card. And I don't think they're wrong.
I think you have to blame the player. Listen, LeMahieu, I don't know if he wasn't right all year, what the deal was with him, but he was not good. Gleyber Torres was not good.
Nope.
Gary Sanchez was not good.
Nope.
Luke Voit was not good. I mean, Gio Urshela was not good. Aaron Hicks was not there. So there's a lot of guys that were not good
second
this
half
season.
Of the season, Garrett Cole wasn't as good.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Nestor Cortez was one, I mean, of all people. Like, you didn't expect. Like, you thought he'd be, okay, he's good. I mean, use him in the bullpen. He turns out to be one of your most trusted starters. And the biggest question mark with the Yankees going into the season was the starting pitching. And for the most part, the starting pitching was fine.
It was good. It was good.
But offensively, they were, I mean, this team was built to bludgeon teams to death and then lock it down with the bullpen.
Which is just not what they are. I mean, you look at these guys, they have huge holes. And again, you watch these teams that are good. And you watch the Dodgers and the depth of their lineup and the Red Sox and the Astros. And listen, I think it's fair to say the Yankees just are not at that level right now.
You know, they're not. No, the numbers show you that. I mean, go through it. I mean, you're talking about a team with runners in the scoring position. They're 26th. There's 30 teams. They're 26th in Major League Baseball. The big one, too, which caused them problems all season long, getting that runner in from third. They only had 39 RBIs with runners on third this season. 39.
Wait. No. That cannot be right.
I'm sitting here looking at it.
What do you mean 39 RBIs with runners on third?
With a runner on third, they had 39 RBIs.
And less than
drove
two
home
outs
the runner
and
39
what?
Times. Which was last in Major League Baseball.
39 RBIs with runners on third this season?
With runners on third.
I don't know how that's possible.
Oh, it's possible.
So if there's a runner on third, you had a home run, that's an RBI.
Yeah, but the runner has to be on third. Exactly right. I mean, we all know what the definition of an RBI is. They struggled to get runners home from third. They struggled running the bases.
Terribly.
They were second in baseball hitting at the double plays.
Yep.
I mean, you name it. They were 19th in runs. They were 29th defensively, which is another humongous problem.
That's a major problem. Well, and the glaring hole right now, and I know they'll fix it this offseason, shortstop.
Glaring. Yeah, shortstop. Glaring. I mean, catcher's a problem. Center field's a problem. I know. I mean, listen, Yankees fans, they don't love Aaron Hicks. I can promise you that.
What is there to love about Aaron Hicks?
Well, the analytic geeks love him.
But come on, you're a baseball fan. You've watched this game forever. What is there to love about Aaron Hicks?
I think Brian Cashman loves the fact that it was his guy. He found him.
Okay. I'll ask you again, as a fan, not that you're a fan of the Yankees, but if you were a fan of the Yankees, not if you found him, not if you signed him to what you think is a team-friendly deal, what is there to love about Aaron Hicks?
I like the fact that he switch hits, but that's about it.
Okay. He's never healthy, ever.
No, I think he took a step back defensively, too. I think he was early on better defensively than he is now. I mean, to have Tommy John and everything else. I mean, I go back. That catch he made against the Twins was phenomenal.
Yeah, but that was 2 years ago.
No, I know. He's not available. Again, right? I mean,
he's never there.
Part of the deal is he's not available.
So what do you do? Do you go Hicks and Gardner, and then when Hicks gets hurt again, now Gardner's a full-time player?
No, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
No, you got real decisions to be made. Real decisions to be made. I mean, money-wise, too. I mean, if you're going to go...
You're going to try to keep Rizzo, right?
They're going to address shortstop, right? But they reset the luxury tax. Who even knows what that's going to look like after the CBA? But if you're going to go big game hunting for shortstops, that's big money. So you're going to blow right through whatever that number ends up being. So you got to find a way. I don't know if that's what Hal wants to do. It doesn't feel like that's what Hal wants to do. So you're going to have to start moving some money around. Like maybe that means you're moving Chapman.
Yeah, possibly so.
Do you take the time now if there's going to be a DH in the National League? Do you capitalize on Stanton having such a good year? Is that something you want to do?
How many years does he have left on his deal?
I think he's got 6 years left.
I mean, would you want Stanton on your team for 6 years?
If he stays healthy?
But there's no guarantee of that.
Well, no, there's no guarantee. But I mean, he stayed healthy this season. He actually played the outfield, which is huge. I mean, I'm sure there are teams that could use him. I just don't know how he fits.
I think there are.
If you give Aaron Judge a long-term extension for big money, I don't know how they coexist.
Which you're gonna have to do. That's not a choice. There's no way the Yankees can let Aaron Judge get away. Let's take a listen to Brian Cashman. What does Boone need to do to be a successful manager for the Yankees?
Well, I think a manager's only as good as the players he's got, you know, and I think Aaron's pretty damn good at his position. And I think as I've talked to players on our club, you know, obviously, you know, we need to demand excellence from them in all categories and find ways to extract that out of them. But I also need to find as many great teammates to surround them with, whether it's big names or small names or medium names.
Medium names. The Yankees need to win is what they need to do.
Well, they ultimately need to win a championship or at least get to the World Series is what they need to do. They win. They win plenty. Like, as a Mets fan, you would take... what the Yankees have done over the last 4 years with Aaron Boone, you would take in a second.
What the Yankees did this year is not considered winning.
For the Yankees, it's not. Because they make the mistake of saying, in a sport now where there are plenty of teams that can spend money, there are a bunch of teams that analytically are better than you, there's more parity. I mean, look at your division. I mean, look at the AL East.
But there's no separation. I mean,
there isn't.
Are the Yankees better than Toronto? I don't think so. They're not better than Tampa. They're not better than Boston. The White Sox are there. The Astros are better than them. I mean, the Yankees are, I mean, you could argue they're fifth, sixth, seventh in the American League. When was the last time you said that?
But their message is like Uncle Rico, like living in the past. Like, you're not going to capture the kind of glory. It'd be like the Islanders fans being, you know, this season isn't successful because we didn't win, you know, four straight Stanley Cups. You're not going to recapture that magic. Like what Brian Cashman's problem was, rather than just saying we're focused on winning a championship, he had the balls to say it's not about a championship, it's about championships.
Well, you know, they haven't been to a World Series since he said that.
And that's why Yankees fans are pissed.
And I understand
Yankees
why they're
any
angry.
Any fan base takes the lead of what the message from the organization ends up being.
Look, it's a blessing and it's a curse. You're the Yankees, you've won 27. And then the curse is you're the Yankees, you've won 27. So anything less than a championship is looked at as a failure. But Brian Cashman, yesterday, press conference, not surprised they got bounced when they did.
You know, our dreams obviously got short-circuited early. Unfortunately, this year, the way our season played out, I guess it's less of a surprise that we got knocked out early than maybe some other years. Because I would acknowledge in other years that we got knocked out, really, we had a legit shot to take a run at the American League title and represent the league in the World Series and see where that would take us. This particular year, I thought we had a chance to do some damage and maybe continue on, but it looked the way our team was going at times that it also could be a first round knockout, and that's what actually happened. But as tough as that is, you know, we got to reconfigure and I got to take responsibility for the ultimate outcome.
Look, I'm not surprised that they didn't go to the World Series. I'm surprised that they got hammered in that wild card game, though.
Well, I think everyone was.
Not him.
I mean, they were an inconsistent team. That's why Cashman said what he said. I mean, there were times they looked like the best team in baseball and there were times like the worst team. I mean, he said it. He said we went from unbeatable to unwatchable, and he's not wrong.
No,
so
there were games this year where the Yankees were just a bad baseball team. All right, people are, lined up. 5:52 in the morning, phone lines all lit up. It would be a tremendous disservice if we didn't get some of the calls.
Could you imagine, though, just as a Met fan, right, all the crap that we've been through and everything else with the Wilpons and now we thought it would change, but it still seems to be, you know, dysfunctional like it normally is, that you would be mad that the team spends over $200 million and you make the playoffs every year, that you'd be mad?
Expectations are different for different teams. Yeah, I mean, if the Kansas City Royals did this, won 92 games and lost in the wild card, you'd say, what an amazing season. When it's the Yankees and the expectations are they're going to win the thing and they barely get in and it takes the last day of the season to get in and then they get hammered in the wild card game, yeah, people are going to feel away
about
it.
But that's it, though. It's not that they barely got in. It's they got hammered. They got lost in the... I mean, they looked as bad as they looked in the wild card game. That's the biggest problem.
Garrett Cole lasted two innings. And I mean, 7, 8, 9 innings, you had no chance in that game. You can compete against a team that's still alive in the Red Sox now, two games from the World Series. All right, let's go. Eli in Washingtonville, lead us off. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen, tell you the truth, after listening to this press conference, Kyle Steinbrenner has joined the group of hated New York team ownerships. Like, he's there with the when the Wilpons used to be there. He's the Mara. He's the Knicks owner. He's joined that club.
How could you possibly say that? How could you call us and possibly have the take that the Steinbrenners are what the Giants are, or what the Knicks are, or what the Mets are? How could you can be dissatisfied, you can be frustrated. How could you possibly have that take?
Listen, because it's the arrogance of this front office. Like, they know that they're wrong when it comes to this analytics stuff, and they're not good at it.
They don't know they're wrong.
It's wrong.
What do you mean they know they're wrong? If they knew they were wrong, they wouldn't do it. They think this is the way that gives them the advantage because they have money to spend and they use this analytics stuff.
No, but they rely too heavily on the analytics. And I think Brian Cashman showed you that at the deadline.
But they don't think they're wrong about it.
No. Every team is using analytics. It's how you use the analytics. And I think the Yankees have gone too far with the analytics a little bit. They need to reassess. And I think at the deadline they did that.
They did.
And all the things you were complaining about, they tried to address. I mean, look at the wild card game. Who was playing shortstop for you?
Yeah. Guy you didn't even know who he was.
For his defense.
Yeah, well, it's important. Well,
exactly right. So they realized that. We're too right-handed, so they addressed that. We're not good defensively. We need to get more athletic. All these things need to be addressed, and I think they will.
I think they will as well. I think they need to desperately.
But don't. I mean, listen.
But you got people calling, comparing them to the Knicks?
No, what else? Here's what aggravates me. Everything that the Yankees fan has asked for the most part, Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman have gone out and got you. We need an ace. He went out and spent $324 million on Garrett Cole. Is it his fault that Garrett Cole didn't show up in the wild card game? They tried to get Ohtani. Ohtani didn't want to come to the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to go get Stanton and took on that contract. Did you want LeMahieu? Yeah, we want LeMahieu. They went out, they got you LeMahieu.
And then kept him.
That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah, they got him.
They re-signed him.
Right.
They give him extra. I mean, they give him an extra year to keep him here. Is it his fault? Is it their fault he had a sports hernia all year that he was dealing with and didn't, wasn't the same guy?
Why would he not have had surgery on that early in the season, by the way?
Because you can play through it. Some you can, but it just gets progressively worse.
Yeah, but would you say he had a good year?
No, I don't. I don't think he had a good year, but I mean, haven't had the surgery myself. It's something you feel like you can play through, but then it just gets to a point where it's too much to deal with.
Right, and you could see it hampered him all season long. Chris Carlin, this is good stuff. Sunday, November the 7th, you can join him for a live broadcast and Giants viewing party at Resorts World Catskills. The live broadcast begins at 11 a.m. and goes until kickoff of the Giants and the Raiders game. 5 Carlin listeners will be treated to a VIP weekend, including a Saturday night casino hotel stay, Sunday live broadcast and personal viewing party with Chris Carlin at Sportsbook 360 with food and bev. See, we're so hip here. Food and bev. Be listening
some
to Carlin.
Rosenberg read. Some bev.
Some bev. Yeah, because you can't say beverage. Just some bev. Be listening to Carlin tonight at 7 o'clock for your chance to score a VIP spot. All from Resorts World Catskills. Bet on sports, win big on live table games, and feast at celebrity-inspired restaurants. Visit rwcatskills.com. You should go there with him. It should be the two of you guys.
If you asked the Atlanta Hawks who they would rather play, the Knicks or the Heat, they would say the Atlanta Hawks.
I mean, that's in the same vein as the Purple Birds.
Yeah, that's a Derrick Henry.
If you asked the Atlanta Hawks who they would rather play, the Knicks or the Heat, their answer would be the Atlanta Hawks. That's
Derrick
a very good
Henry
job.
And the Purple Birds, the Ravens, against Derrick Henry and the Tennessee.
He has that moment of clarity where he says, you can hear it.
Hear his voice.
Oh, God. What have I done?
Couple things. I would love to go hang out with Carlin.
You should
I love
go.
Carlin.
November 7th. What do you have going on?
No, that's his thing. That's Carlin's thing. It's his listeners. That's his thing. I don't want to intrude on that.
Uh-huh.
The other thing is, he brings up the Atlanta Hawks. They are, like, you want to talk about teams that I despise?
You don't like the Hawks, huh?
Yeah, the Hawks are right there. Trae Young is just right there.
Knicks, Hawks, Christmas Day at the Garden.
That may be a game we have to go to.
I'm going to go to that.
Well, you are.
Stop it. There is zero chance you're going to go to that game. So why are we going to play the game? Why are we going to pretend it's going to be a show trip? You're going to go.
Well, maybe Milo wants to go.
You shouldn't go, and you're not going to go. There's no way on Christmas Day that Cass is going to say, Milo to the Knicks game.
Hold on. The kids are going to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning because it's Christmas Day. So we're up. What if Milo, just in the same vein, I don't ever golf, right? Like, I don't golf because I can't justify being away for 5 hours. I'm not going to do it. But when Cass's dad comes up, who loves to golf, he says, hey, Rick, can we go golfing? And Cass is like, oh, yeah, take my dad golfing. So if Milo and her dad will be here, say, hey, you know, it'd be great. Let's go check out this Knicks game. Then guess who's going to be at the Knicks game?
Good. I will be there with my wife and my kids. I implore you to go. We can hang out on Christmas Day together.
If Sherry's going, how am I going to say no?
You should go.
Coaches.
I think it would be great. We'd have a phenomenal time. Oh. RJ can go. Raymond will be there already because he works at the Knicks games. Hopefully, like a 9 overtime game, so he doesn't get to celebrate Christmas. That'd be great. You do realize that Santiago's getting coal in his stocking for Christmas, right?
He didn't care what he gets in his stocking as long as the Cowboys continue to win. He don't care.
Which will not happen. There's no way they're going to win this whole thing.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.